2024 presidential polls and hashtag Stop Galamsey Now, so on. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. Tonight, 24 hours and counting, and the Electoral Commission is yet to generate and share voter statistics with the political parties and candidates as promised. We'll get to hear from the NDC and more political parties who are growing impatient by the hour about the situation.
Yes, yeah, and this is very dangerous, President.
Now, it's getting to 24 hours, so your guess is as good as mine. We'll see what happens afterwards.
Personally, I see that as the Commission being so disrespectful to us.
We have details of that also tonight. Attorney General Godfred Yabuadame warns against any attempt to disobey the Supreme Court orders to the Supreme Court, describing it as non-negotiable.
To comply with, and that must be done. And I think that it is also, again, non-negotiable for persons to obey orders, directions, and decisions of the Supreme Court of Ghana. A failure to adhere to this will lead the nation down anarchy, and it must be avoided.
We have details of the National Peace Council becomes the latest institution to make an attempt after the Council of State to resolve the parliamentary impasse following Speaker Alban Bagbin's third indefinite adjournment after an emergency recall.
As a result of the refusal of those who requested for the recall to show up, we are compelled to once again adjourn the sitting of the House.
We have details of that, and it's been several weeks since that gruesome attack by armed gunmen on my colleagues led by Erastus Asare-Dokun during their illegal mining investigation. Tonight we have the latest as the Attorney General also expressed his willingness to take up the matter.
It's also not inappropriate for the journalist in question to petition my office. And I do that. I get such petitions all the time. I'll be happy to meet Erastus over this issue. For the necessary evidence to be scrutinized or examined together, and of course, I made the necessary.
We have details of that, and we hit the campaign trail tonight. And NDC flag bearer John Mahama is urging the judiciary to pursue reforms that promote consistency and fairness.
When it comes to MPP MPs, the Speaker declares their seats vacant for 1.5 months until we go to election. That one, it is unheard of. I mean, what kind of justice system is this?
And then Dr. Bawumia is promising to create Airport City in Kumasi to industrialize the Ashanti regional capital.
And in business, commercial banks describe Bank of Ghana's decision to improve dollar supply through multiple auctions as prudent.
And in sports, Jordan Ayew to captain Black Stars against Angola and Niger as Otto Addo leaves Sal Thomas Partey from the Ghana squad for the final AFCON qualifiers.
Can't wait for details of that. And later, US President Joe Biden promises a smooth transfer of power after his party's massive defeat in Tuesday's election. We have details of his very first speech after the election.
You can't love your country only when you win. You see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Bring down the temperature. On January 20th, we'll have a peaceful transfer of power here in America. Setbacks are unavoidable. Giving up is unforgivable. Remember, a defeat does not mean we are defeated.
A defeat does not mean we are defeated. That and more here on Newsnight, here on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM, affiliate across Ghana's 16 regions. We are live on X Spaces. We are on Facebook and myjoyonline.com. The Newsnight, we'll take a quick break. We're right back. I am Emefa Apau. Please stay with me.
There's a business in every woman, from the young lady brimming with exciting and novel business ideas to the market queen managing her empire. There's the she architect, quantity surveyor, realtor, business consultant, crafting dreams into reality, and the multitasking mom, seamlessly blending work and home. The entrepreneur, meticulously checking stock. To the corporate woman, sealing deals on the move. Indeed, there's a business in every woman. Introducing Telecel Women in Business, our initiative to empower women-led and women-owned enterprises. Benefit from tailored activities, networking, business and technical support, free webinars, trainings, and more. To join this initiative, be a female-led business and a Telecel business customer. Visit telecel.com.gh/business to register now.
Telecel, connecting energies.
Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining my ears, bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy, now I'll be spraying them away with holy insect.
Mosquito Quell Holy Multi-Purpose Insecticide Spray. Ghana Krom Krom. For bulk purchase, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
I am Wahinere Gifty Auntie. You see, it always feels good when you receive that salary alert. I made a bold decision to invest a lump sum into the Old Mutual Retirement Salary Plan. And this means that I will get these alerts every month throughout retirement for the rest of my life. You too can retire on your own terms. Oh, invest a lump sum in the Old Mutual Retirement Salary Plan today and receive a monthly income for the perfect retirement. Call Old Mutual on 050-453-4333 or visit www.oldmutual.com.gh to sign up today. Obrapa, Amo Tongwa.
Old Mutual, do great things every day.
Apple.
Jimmy Braggart, ask for you.
I am Jimmy Braggart, a.k.a. YesCYesC. Auntie Mercy, I have just got the filler that the Electoral Commission is able to print some ballot papers secretly that they can stuff in ballot boxes on election day to favor a particular candidate.
Hey, YesCYesC, you and your wild fillers.
This one is true. I am sure if Mr. EC is here, he will confirm it.
Mr. EC is here, and I say it's a big lie. Ghana is one of the few countries whose Electoral Commission prints ballot papers within the country.
Oh, you? What? Did I not say? It.
To ensure fairness, transparency and accountability, political party representatives, the police service, as well as the National Intelligence Bureau, all observe the printing and packing of the ballot papers. All ballot papers have official serial numbers, which means that any ballot paper you see on election day that do not have these official serial numbers are fake.
Yes, yes, yes. Are you listening?
The party agents and all other observers maintain 24-hour observation of the process by either not sleeping at all or changing personnel as the case may be. Immediately after printing and before parking, the political parties record serial numbers of all ballot papers allocated to each region, district, constituencies, and polling stations. When the ballot papers are being dispatched to the regional police armory, the party agents and other observers follow the security vans. Each stage is closely monitored by the political party agents and all other stakeholders.
Yes, yes, aka Jimmy Braggart. You get it? You must trust the process.
This is part of the process towards conducting a free, fair, and transparent election by the Electoral Commission.
Now we know the truth. We won't fall for the lies anymore.
Electoral Commission of Ghana. Transparency and accountability in motion.
Hey! Makasana!
Get ready.
Every objection against you is hereby dismissed.
For Impact 2024, with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, Reverend Dr. Eastwood Anaba, Apostle Joshua Selman, Apostle Isi Igeneba, Bishop Dr. Bernard Ojiri Asari, and Reverend Dr. David Inchi, November 24th to December 1st, 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. daily. At Action Chapel International Prayer Cathedral, Dominion Arena. For inquiries or bars information, call 059-230-0069.
Thanks for staying with us here on Newsnight. Let's dig in now and start off from the election headquarters.
Election headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging the Gap for Positive Youth Development, Syntex Tanks, Aya Strong, Aya Tough, and Potential Real Estates. Your trusted partner in real estate.
And we head off to the Electoral Commission headquarters, starting there tonight. And the Electoral Commission, after more than 24 hours since they released the final voters register, is yet to generate and share a detailed breakdown of the voter statistics with the political parties and candidates as promised. So what began as a routine handover on Wednesday quickly turned chaotic as party representatives requested a data breakdown that was not immediately provided. Left in suspense, the parties waited over 6 hours at the EC headquarters only to leave empty-handed. Now, with patience waning, some parties are growing impatient. The NDC is already considering other options to force the hand of the commission. We'll get to hear from them shortly, but first though, here's how things unfolded Wednesday night at the Electoral Commission headquarters. My colleague Michael Ashali was there for us.
Today, Wednesday the 6th of November, present you with the soft copies of the final certified voters register for the 2024 general election.
Chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Jan Mensa, says the EC has finally compiled the final voters register after resolving all outstanding issues with the register. She proceeded to distribute the finalized register to representatives from political parties and independent candidates.
It is finished. I present you with the copy of the final certified voters register for the 2024 election.
What started out as a regular presentation of the final voters register to the various political parties and the candidates that will be standing in the December 7 polls soon turned chaotic. The NDC's Deputy Director of Elections and IT, Dr. Rashid Tanko, described the register as incomplete.
I feel like we are holding on to some of the information. Because now you now want us to go and then look at this based on what you are talking about. Why not add that one to that certified, to make it certified? Because it appears it's incomplete.
Although initially reluctant to accept it, Dr. Tanko later collected a copy of the register, requesting the EC to provide a summary statistics of the register.
We are not going to take it out unless they give us those statistics, of which is part and parcel of the process.
He also rejected the EC's use of the word certified register, insisting the law has been breached.
The procedure of certifying the register, she mentioned Regulation 27. I thought she was going to read Regulation 27, 1, 2, 3, up to the 4. There are four registered under Regulation 27. It clearly stated how a register is to be certified. And one of it is that there is going to be formed adjudication committee of which political parties are going to be part of it. Have you had any adjudication committee? And you are satisfying the register?
The EC, in response, asked for some time to produce the summary statistics. After a six-hour wait, the commission returned with an apology. IT consultant to the Electoral Commission, Dr. Yao Ofori Ejay, explained that the process took longer than they expected.
I apologize sincerely for the delay in getting you the statistics as was promised.
Commissioner Jan Mensa says the request is not grounded in law and the EC cannot be forced to grant it.
If you choose to return it, that's your prerogative. You can do so. And this is a request you are making. It is not binding in law. I mean, we are not obliged to give it to you. But I think that's a commission that believes in transparency, that accommodates and is responsive to the needs of its stakeholders. We don't have a problem generating the detailed summary for you, but we are not obliged.
This drew the anger of some political parties. The NDC returned the hard disk drive containing the voters' register, insisting they will only accept it alongside the requested summary statistics.
If they don't bring the ballot statistics or the voter statistics and the summaries, we are not going to take the register. We've returned it. We have officially said we have returned the drive back to them until we get the summaries. What is she talking about?
Nana Giao Sapon, representing Alan Tramantin, says the EC's posture leaves much to be desired.
Personally, I see that as the commission being so disrespectful to us. I see that as the commission not taking us serious. They are just taking us for granted. Basically, that is what it is. You understand?
Meanwhile, the MPP, represented by Evans Nimaku, said they were satisfied with the process and will give the EC additional time to provide the summary statistics.
On the part of New Patriotic Party, we keep our time. And we hope that the one I give in, or by tomorrow, we will have the copy so that our IT people can then look at it.
The Electoral Commission is racing against time now to produce the summary statistics that they promised to hand over to the various political parties and the candidates that will be standing in the December polls. After 6 hours, they have asked for more time. Only time will tell when exactly they will be able to produce this. For Joy News, Michael
Ashali.
And my colleague, Michael Ashali, there at the Electoral Commission headquarters, joins me in studio because in the last couple of hours, the EC, in a statement, stressed that the request is not grounded in law and is therefore not mandated to submit the voter statistics. However, the commission say they are still committed to making it available to the various parties immediately they are done with the analysis. And Michael is with me in the studios. For the record, though, what time did you leave the EC last night?
This should be somewhere 11:45 and 12 a.m.
And you went there at 4 p.m. yesterday.
I actually left here at 3 p.m.
Okay. Well, that's fine. How's that sort of the job? But let's get a sense of when the voter statistics will be available. Did we get that in a statement?
Well, MFA, this is a statement signed by the Deputy Chairman of the Electoral Commission, Samuel Titi. This is a five-paragraph statement and doesn't in any way talk specifically about a timeline or even the hours that they gave us. At the time that we're leaving, the final statement that came from the Director of IT or the consultant IT was that it should take them around an hour and a half to finish the analysis before they can begin to generate it. We haven't heard anything about that even here.
Okay. Well, we know that the NDC raised another issue about the certification of this particular register. Did the EC respond to that in that statement?
Well, MFA, I'll take you to the last paragraph. It says that the commission assures all stakeholders that the certified voters register is robust and credible. We urge the public to support the commission to deliver free, fair, transparent, credible elections in December 2024. This is as much as it says in the statement, but we've already heard from the commissioner herself, who says that it doesn't take away from what they have given them as the true and certified copy of the voters register.
Okay, and that's my colleague Michael Ashali with details of that statement from the Electoral Commission, and we're working the lines as and when we get the Electoral Commission to give us the latest on this particular promise that was made to the political parties. We'll bring that to you, but we've been hearing from more political parties who are growing impatient. Remy Edmondson of the Progressive People's Party says the situation is a very dangerous precedent. He spoke on the AM show.
We're going into an election. Yes, you after all the months of back and forth of accusations of a tainted register, now you finally tell us that you have a clean register. I'm a parliamentary candidate. I don't have a presidential candidate, unfortunately. Nana has. I don't know, for example, I want to know that in Domi Kwabinya, I have maybe, 10,000 registered voters? Because then if you don't give me the breakdown of the regional number, how many the overall number of votes in the country, the overall number of votes breakdown by region per constituency, on what basis are you then going to conduct this and then declare results? Yeah. You understand? And this is a very dangerous precedent. So to have the parties wait for, it's more than 6 hours because the meeting was called for at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
And so after the back and forth, and then you, for like 6 hours, when they didn't have the start, and then the parties demanded that they were not going to leave until they gave it to them. They said, okay, wait for us. We're going to work on it and bring it. And Jamaica comes back around 11:41 to tell them that she's not mandated to do that. How can you come and do this? And it's very dangerous. And I mean, we should all not keep quiet. We need to really speak and ensure that we need this register because we have no evidence even that what you've given us, I have no idea whether what Movement for Change got is the same as what I got. So if they scrutinize their register and later come and say that my register has 18 million, PPP says I have 14, NDC says something else, we have no standard figure from you to guide us.
That's the Progressive People's Party's Rep. Remy Edmondson there speaking on the AM show today. Well, we've been hearing from the Movement for Change also yesterday. They were very vocal at that meeting and they are equally incensed by the posture of the EC. Nanaya Osapong speaks for the party.
After making us wait for 5 to 6 hours, then you come to tell us that you are not obliged to give it to us. And so if we want, we should return the disc you've given us. And when it is ready, you're not just being fair to us. Personally, I see that as the commission being so disrespectful to us. I see that as a commission not taking us serious. They are just taking us for granted. Basically, that is what it is. You understand?
Well, the clock then, we know, is ticking and the patience of the parties, we're told, is running out. Deputy Director of IT and Elections for the NDC, Dr. Rashid Tanko Computer, has been speaking to us on this matter. We heard him earlier on this issue and interacting with my colleague, Michael Ashali, earlier on this. We are working the lines to see if we can raise him back on the line to find out if in the last few hours or minutes something may have changed, if the EC has really reached out to them and gotten back to them on this issue. And my colleagues are also working the lines to bring the EC on this matter and what exactly has happened when it comes to this situation. And thankfully, Dr. Rashid Tanko, computer, has joined us. He's on the line. Well, we're grateful for your time here on Newsnight. Tell me, have we heard anything from the EC as we speak?
MFA, let me say good evening to your cherished listeners and you yourself. As we speak now, nothing has changed. The EC is still locked up in trying to put up the figures together. As I stated earlier yesterday, the EC is not a serious electoral commission. The basic statistics will tell you that, even those doing primary statistics will tell you that the first thing you do when you are generating data is to come out with figures. You are dealing with figures. Electoral Commission, their primary rules is to deal with figures, because that's the figures they will use to declare a president and a parliamentary candidate. Mm. You can't come and give us a data that has no figures, that has no summary of the figures, and then its statistics therein.
But it's
a big surprise that a whole institution like this will have this blunder and want to run cover of a law and saying that no law is binding it.
I just want to find out, though, I'll come to the matter of law shortly, but have we reached out as parties after that promise was made last night or into midnight? Have we reached out? What have we heard from the EC?
They haven't said anything. We have a presidential platform of which I'm representing the NDC candidate at the presidential platform. The other political parties, they also have rep there, and that's where they share information with us. If they were ready with the data, they would have shared it over there for all of us to see. We don't need to call them to have it. The platform is there.
Mm.
And all the commissioners are on the platform. And so, as she indicated, initially she told us that we should go. She will put the data on the platform. And we said, no, that is not the right thing to do. We want the media to come along with it. Because MFA, you are there. I just want to ask you a simple thing. Today, somebody will call in and ask you, MFA, what is the total registered voters for Ghana for the December 7th? What figure are you going to be telling the person? You are a reporter. What figure are you going to be telling them? I don't know. You were there with them. Your people were there throughout. Nobody knows. As we speak now, tell me, Ghana, what is the total registered? No Ghanaian is aware. Even the commissioners were not aware. They are relying on the IT people to generate for them. If they knew, they would have informed us yesterday.
And they've raised the issue also about this request that has been made, at least by the various political parties, not just the NDC, not being grounded in law, and they are not mandated to actually submit that voter statistic that you are asking for. You agree?
MFA, you see, common sense is becoming a big issue in Ghana. This electoral commission has generated ballot statistics for the printing houses to print ballot papers. Go and check the law that talks about ballot papers printing. It has nothing to do with ballot statistics.
Mm.
The law says print ballot papers for the conduct of elections. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot print ballot papers without generating statistics. But the law didn't mention statistics there.
Mm.
Now, if the law says give people register, satisfy register, do you want the law to say you must generate statistics for them? That's why I say common sense is becoming a big commodity in Ghana.
Well, but since you left and you have the initial hard drive, the certified register that was giving, what did you find in there? It did not give you the total registered voters
in
there.
No, we returned it.
Okay.
We didn't send it. We returned it back to them. Mm. You know, shortly after she said, she apologized and was saying that they cannot get it. We should go. They are now trying to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
We said we cannot also go with what you have given to us. We know that was a trap they were trying to set on us. That's why we gave it back to them.
Okay, Dr. Rashid Tanko, computer, we are monitoring that. Thank you so much for joining us. That's the Deputy Director of IT and Elections for the NDC. And let's attempt to get some response from the Electoral Commission. And thankfully, my colleagues have been able to raise Dr. Bosman Osare, as Director of Corporate Services at the Electoral Commission, Deputy Commissioner. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. Are you able to answer directly the question about how many total registered voters we have as we speak, 30 days to the election?
Eva, good evening to you and good evening to your listeners. Eva, if I come out here, you go ahead, please.
Okay, so I was asking if you're able to provide, we are just exactly 30 days to the 2024 general elections. Do we know the total number of registered voters in this election?
At the Electoral Commission, we know the total number of registered figures. we know the total number of registered figures. What transpired yesterday was that we gave the registered...
But before we go into what transpired, since we know, how many are there?
I want to put it in a context.
Okay.
As I said, we know the total number of registered voters nationally. We know the total number on the multiples at, per each region. We have all these numbers. What the commission said yesterday was that because one of the parties requested that they wanted us to give them summaries of all the registers we've given to them, the commission took it upon itself to ensure that we will provide all this data not only at the national level, but also at the regional level. And this is something we told, we gave the assurance to the parties that we're going to give to them. But unfortunately, the details we wanted to give, we couldn't put all together. But one thing which is very, very important is that the commission owes the political parties a certified register. This is something by law the Electoral Commission is supposed to give to the political parties. And that's what we did yesterday. And when you look at CI 91 Regulation 27, it's very clear that once the certified register is ready, within 21 days, the Electoral Commission must make it available to political parties and persons who the Electoral Commission considers appropriate for them to have. And this is what the Electoral Commission has done. So if we're a party, the onus is on you to go inside the document we have given to you. You'll be able to know the total number of registers per each region. And based on that, you'll be able to know what the national figures. But the Electoral Commission yesterday was trying to make the point that to make it easier for the political parties, we will provide you the summaries at the national level as well as the various summaries at the regional level. And we said to be able to do that, it requires some auditing, and those processes are ongoing. And this is something we believe by tomorrow it should be ready for Ghanaians to have these particular details.
And this, you're telling us, has been duly communicated to the various political parties that you made to wait for 6 hours in your offices yesterday.
No, as I said, initially, when they asked about the Electoral Commission giving them the national summary in terms of nationally how many total registrations or how many people are going to vote come December 7th. Apart from that, nationally, how many people are on the multiples list, how many people are on the proxy list in that manner. And the commission said to be able to meet the expectation of the parties, we're going to dig deeper. And we noticed that to be able to get all that information for the political parties, it will require some additional level of work, including some auditing. Nevertheless, the document we have given to the parties contains everything. Mm. So if we're a political party, we have given you the external drive, which contains the total number of registered voters for each region, for each constituency, as well as the total number of persons on the multiples list, the total number of persons on the exceptions list, the total number of Ghanaians on the proxy list, all this information we gave to the parties yesterday. So what we were trying to do yesterday was to make it easier for the parties. Again, we have given everything to the political parties.
Well, so the responsibility that you're placing on the various political parties is to come up with how many total registered voters we have who will be participating in this particular election. Are we saying that as we speak, the EC on its own does not have these summaries, such that you are now conducting that auditing to get that total, you're saying?
However, I said, you know, that we it's a system. We have a database which contains all this information. And from that database, we have copied all the information and we have given the information to the political parties. So in terms of the national summary, we told the parties yesterday, we have that information. But the Electoral Commission made it clear in this particular meeting that we're going to dig deeper. And to dig deeper will require that. So for example, if you mentioned that nationally we've registered 18,770,000 in that manner, you want to know how many people are registered in Greater Accra, in Ashanti, in Eastern, in Central, in that manner. And we told them last night that
according to the information coming from our technical team, to be able to get all those summaries in terms of the exceptions, the multiples, the transfers, the absentee list, those whose biometrics have been corrupted in that manner, it will require some extra time. Nevertheless, the document we have given to the parties contains everything they need, including the total number of registered voters nationally, total number of registered voters per each region, per each polling station, per each constituency. So the onus is on the political parties. And MFR, we shouldn't forget that in 2020, we gave the register to the political parties. We didn't give them any summary. In 2023, during the district level elections, we gave the register to the political parties. We didn't give them any summaries. Normally, when we talk about summaries at the regional, at the national level, it's something we give to the people of Ghana. So for the political parties, the document we have given to them, the drive we have given to them, contains all the necessary information in terms of the total number of registered voters and all the other indicators.
Well, you may be speaking directly to the various political parties, but as we speak also, the ordinary person would want to know, when are we going to know how many total registered voters we have on our own?
The commission is working around the clock. As I said, we want to add the regional data in terms of total number of voters in each region and all the other indicators, exceptions, multiples, and others. So we believe that later by Monday, this information should be made public. We'll make it available to the media, to the good people of Ghana, for everyone to have access to it. But all this, as we speak now, we've given them to the political parties.
Well, Doc, we are grateful. That's Dr. Bosman Asari, is Deputy EC Chair in charge of corporate services. They're joining us on the line, giving us some information on what will happen going forward. We'll stay a while longer in the election headquarters. No, we can't do that. It's time for business with George Riafe. There's a lot happening on that front. Plus, we'll get to hear from US President Joe Biden after that defeat by his party in Tuesday's election. He's been speaking about how they're going to hand over power. We'll get to hear from him.
You can't love your country only when you win. You see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Bring down the temperature. On January 20th, we'll have a peaceful transfer of power here in America. Setbacks are unavoidable. Giving up is unforgivable. Remember, a defeat does not mean we are defeated.
George, what's in business?
And they talk about developments in U.S. on PM Express Business Edition. Tonight we'll be looking at what has happened in U.S., the Trump presidency, and the impact on the Ghanaian economy. He's talked about putting tariffs on certain exports or imports into that country. What could be the implication on the Ghanaian economy, especially when it comes to inflation as well? The dollar is strengthening. What could be that impact also on the Ghanaian economy? And the fact that also he's going to be heavy in producing more oil, and what could be the impact also on that on the Ghanaian economy? So is the Trump presidency and the Ghanaian economy on PM Express Business Edition MFR tonight?
Can't wait.
Okay, and what should you expect tonight? Banks describes the Bank of Ghana's decision to improve dollar supply through multiple auctions as prudent, and energy analyst Dr. Yusuf Suleiman pushes for more investment in oil sector after significant increase the sector's revenue for the first half of this year. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. The other day. You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, some banks have described as prudent the Bank of Ghana's decision to improve dollar supply through multiple auctions. Now, there is more in the following business tax report.
The auction is coming at a time that there has been some growing concerns of limited supply of dollars on the market. Some of these firms have told Joy Business that they cannot get dollars to buy, but the development can be described as interesting, especially when the Bank of Ghana has introduced several platforms to sell dollars to the market, as well as significant growth in its dollar reserves. These concerns are also coming at a time that IMF has also given the Bank of Ghana approval to increase the amount of dollars that can be sold on the market. The dollar auction for the bulk oil distribution firms is part of the central bank's program to assure these firms that the regulator can provide them with dollars when they need them. Therefore, there is no need to rush for it now.
Joy Business has spoken to the move. If it's sustained, may go a long way to deal with the current pressure on the Ghana city. This is because they believe that some of the demand coming from businesses are influenced by fears that they will not get dollars when the time is due. That is why they are forcing to get their dollars now. Some of the commercial banks are also of the view that there is an element of speculation that is leading to the current pressure on the city. Therefore, these multiple auctions could deal with that challenge. However, there are some who are of the view that how long can Bank of Ghana sustain this intervention? This is why the central bank also wants to be strategic so they don't end up depleting their dollar reserves, which is currently over $7 billion.
And that is a business desk report. Meanwhile, financial economist Professor Lord Mensah is skeptical about the sustainability of these moves, though he welcomed the action by the Bank of Ghana.
The local currency has to do with, you know, the buffers we have. I mean, it has to do with the demand. If we have enough buffers, and the Bank of Ghana will be able to meet, you know, the spots that is being created, and at the same time, the forward, the short-term forward, like the 7 days. Yeah. I mean, there's no problem with the exchange rate. But once, you know, the spot market is created and there's demand and the signal goes out that the Bank of Ghana cannot meet this demand, obviously you have to see, you know, the dollar rising against the cedi.
And that is a financial economist, Professor Lord Mensah. Now, energy analyst Dr. Yusuf Suleiman is pushing for more investment into the oil sector to improve returns from that area for the country. It follows revelations from the Public Interest and Accountability Committee that total revenue from crude oil production from the country's fields for the first half of this year went up by more than 55%. Dr. Yusuf is arguing that this could be one of the surest ways to sustain these gains.
And this is a time that we require investment to the oil field. So I want to urge the players to consistently make sure that they put the required investment strategically into this field. If you don't do investment, especially the infield drilling, that's what is required now. We need new fields. Even if the new fields are not coming, we need infield drilling, and that requires investment. That's number one. Number two, we need to stick to the directives of PIAC with respect to the PRMA, the Petroleum Revenue Management. It's very important. It's just like the cash flow mechanism we're talking about. Look, even if the revenue is not coming in the quantum that we needed, whatever is coming, there's a formula that you need to distribute. Stick to that, because there's every reason that formula was gotten, or that formula. If you don't stick to that, we're going to have ourselves to blame, especially for the core business.
Energy analyst Dr. Yusuf Suleiman. Now, the Thermal Development Corporation has revealed that it is in a strong financial position to withstand any future shocks. The firm revealed this at the company's annual general meeting in Thermal. Correspondent Kwame Yanka has the rest of the story.
TDC Ghana Limited attributed this financial performance to the company's resilient operational strategies and expanded asset base despite challenges post-pandemic. The company's revenue rose from 136.6 million Ghana cedis in 2022 to 182.06 million Ghana cedis in 2023. Here is Managing Director of TDC Ghana Limited, Alice Abna Oforiata.
Our profit before tax increased from 49.85 million in 2022 Ghana cedis to 72.98 million Ghana cedis in 2023. Representing an increase of 46.4%. On liquidity, the company recorded improvements in both current and quick ratios. The current ratio as at 2023 was 3.6 to 1 as compared to 3.3 to 1 in 2022.
Director General of the State Interest and Governance Authorities, John Buedu, encouraged the company to pursue a listing on the Ghana Stock Exchange.
It's not as if you'll be operating and you are expected to be a corporate entity, then you do be doing charity. And we still expect you to be doing profits. And if you make the losses, we turn around as a people to come and accuse you for not doing what is right. I think it is important that we do. And as a result, we will work with you that we move and reduce our interest and our shares. Get you listed. And that is what we want to see. I want to see in a year's time, you are on the stock exchange.
Director General of the State Interest and Governance Authority, John Bwedu, ending that report by Kwame Yanka. Now, MTN's mobile money revenue for the third quarter of this year reached 3.1 billion Ghana cedis, representing 50% jump over what it had for last period. For the same period last year, the growth in revenue was underpinned by an 18% jump in active users, partly due to improvement in acquisition of channels, introduction of new self-activation accounts for the mobile firm. And then for tonight, and let me tell you, those who join us on PM, that is the personalities, will be having, that is Dr. Patrick Assumin, he is an economist, and also Simon Majid, he is the executive secretary of the American Chamber of Commerce, Ghana, and also Courage Buti, he is manager macroeconomic research at JCB Bank PLC. So we'll be looking at the economic angle, the trade angle, the business angle, and also the bit about the forex angle, and investment as well. On PM Express, as you look at the Trump presidency, an impact on the Ghanaian economy.
At 9 p.m., you can't miss
on all our social media platforms and the Join You channel.
And you know, it's been weeks after our colleague Erastus Osaridonko and three others were attacked.
Very sad one.
Yeah, during their investigation into the impact of illegal mining in our forest reserves. Well, tonight we'll be hearing from the Attorney General and Minister for Justice, Godfrey Eboah-Dami. He stated that Erastus should not hesitate, together with our colleagues, to formally petition the Office of the Attorney General to authorize the CID of the Ghana Police Service to undertake a comprehensive investigation into that particular attack. We can hear from Godfrey Eboah-Dami there interacting with Kojo Yangson, Super Morning Show host.
Not inappropriate for the journalist in question to petition my office. And I do that. I get such petitions all the time. I'll be happy to meet Erastus over this issue for the necessary evidence to be scrutinized or examined together. And of course, I made the necessary conclusions.
But being the Attorney General who is able to take action based on what you see on TV, why must Erastus be the one to petition you?
Because you are alluding to some evidence, some tape, some production by Joy FM, which I have not seen, with all respect.
So the question is, why must it be Erastus petitioning you? Why don't you take the phone
but call Erastus? I said to you,
ask him to bring you the evidence he has.
I should call Erastus right now?
Why not?
I don't even have Erastus' number, with all respect. If you give Erastus' number today
you're the Attorney General. But that can certainly not stop you.
But you see, I think there must be a modicum of fairness to me. In the middle of an interview, you inquire about certain matters that a colleague of yours has raised in a production.
Years ago, by the way.
I'm not even aware whether it was years ago, or it was even this year. You are saying it was years ago. I've not seen such evidence. And now you are saying, why have you called a person so far? I mean, clearly, that's a little bit unreasonable. And I'm saying that it is not inappropriate for the person, if indeed the person is truly concerned about environmental matters and prosecution of environmental crime, to petition the Office of Attorney General and for us to commission the CID of the Ghana Police Service to undertake the investigations, and then we'll do that.
That's Godfrey Eboah-Dami there on the Erastus situation. So as we speak, we know that three arrests were made as to whether these persons have been prosecuted, what exactly is happening to the company involved. The gunmen, we're told, were working for a company. What exactly has happened? We're yet to hear more on this matter. And we'll see what the Attorney General, Godfrey Eboah-Dami, will also do, since he's promising that once Erastus and the team petitions him, he will take up the matter. Well, he's also been describing as non-negotiable the Supreme Court orders the Speaker of Parliament to reverse his declaration of 4 seats in Parliament as vacant. While reacting to the happenings in Parliament following the Supreme Court's order, the AG is warning the defiance of the court's directive could plunge the nation into chaos.
Two fundamental principles have to be recognized, and I think I would like to leave the people of Ghana with it. That number one, Article 1, the opening provision of the Constitution, vests the sovereignty in the people of Ghana. Appreciated. It's a point that must be appeared. Sovereignty is not in any institution or individual in the country. Secondly, supremacy is not in any individual in the country. Supremacy is in the constitution. And the constitution, when it sets out certain functions and rules for people to perform, that must be observed. The judiciary is vested with final judicial power. The Supreme Court is vested with authority to interpret the constitution and to enforce the constitution. The power of the Supreme Court to enforce the constitution is only subject to the High Court's power to enforce fundamental human rights.
And the National Peace Council has become the latest to make an attempt to resolve the impasse in Parliament, following Speaker Alban Bagbin's third indefinite adjournment after an emergency recall. Well, the Speaker attributed the adjournment to the fact that there was no business before Parliament because the Business Committee had failed to meet and present an agenda to the House. And we know also that the Council of State earlier made some attempts to resolve the impasse between the leadership of the House. So today we've been hearing some majority members mentioning that they would want to cite the Speaker for contempt, amongst others. Whatever happens from Parliament, we'll definitely bring that to you. But for now, it's time for sports, all about the Black Stars and who is going to be captaining, amongst others. Danny, tell us more.
Yeah, Jordan Ayuhiwo captained the Black Stars for their final AFCON 2025 qualifiers against Angola and Niger. Now, head coach Otuaro made that decision when he announced the squad for those two games in today's press conference. Captain Thomas Partey has been left out of the team, and Otuaro suggested that a switch to Jordan Ayew may be for the long haul.
I made it quite clear to him he wanted to come. So this one first, he wanted to come. But I made quite clear that why he's not coming. Like I said, it's confidential. It's difficult for me to mention all the things. It's like that. We have to move on. And maybe in addition to this, because I know the next question will come. So once he's not there now, surely after I talked to Thomas, first of all, I had to talk to Kudus. For him, I think he's still young. He needs to grow into that role.
You had Black Stars head coach Otto Addo speaking there. The squad also includes two Ghana Premier League players in Nations FC's Razak Simpson and Asante Kotoko's Emmanuel Entry. Their regulars in Mohamed Kudus, Alexander Jiku, Gideon Mensah, and Antoine Semenyo. Also returnees are Nathaniel Ejay and Manaf Nuruddin. That's all for sports. Back to you, MFA.
Thank you very much, Danny. We head back to the election headquarters, and NDC presidential candidate John Dramani Mahama says residents of Santro Kofi, Akpafu, Lolobi, and Likpe Sal are not lesser citizens compared to those from constituencies where parliamentary seats were declared vacant by the Speaker. Speaking on the last day of his tour of the Oti region, he called on the judiciary to pursue reforms that ensure consistency and fairness in his judgment. Maxwell Agbagba has more in this report.
NDC presidential candidate John Mahama giving his own rendition of Stoneboy's song Jejereje to criticize Vice President and NPP presidential candidate Dr. Mahmoud Oubawumia's economic performance, implying he hasn't met expectations as an economist. Sports journalist Yawampo Fuankra expressed his long-standing admiration for John Mahama, dating back to his days as a member of parliament.
You know, I was in parliament as a correspondent when he was the MP for Bole Bamboi. That is when I first got to know John Mahama. But I've always had a soft spot for John Mahama. And now that the opportunity has come for him to come back again, I will not hold back to support.
While touring the Oti region, John Mahama promised to decentralize recruitment into state security agencies aimed
inferior citizens of Ghana compared to the two that the Supreme Court is struggling to defend their representation. But we believe that one of the important things that we need for our democracy to survive is for our judiciary to carry out the reforms that make it consistent, that make it fair, and that make it able to dispense justice without fear or favor.
That's Maxwell Agbagba's report from the Oti regional campaign tour of John Dramani Mahama. Well, in the Ashanti region, that 15-day campaign tour of the presidential candidate for the New Patriotic Party, Dr. Mahmoud Oubawumia, is still on, and he's promised to create an airport city in Kumasi as part of his efforts to industrialize the Ashanti regional capital. Nana Buachi Dankwa Yadom has more.
Speaking at a rally in the Menchia North constituency, the NPP flag bearer unveiled his ambitious plan to transform Kumasi into a major economic hub with focus on creating an airport city as part of the Kumasi International Airport project. The proposed airport city will be a major industrial and commercial center in the Ashanti region. Dr. Baumia noted the airport city project will be a major driver of economic growth, creating thousands of jobs and stimulating economic activity.
Airport ACI. Yepese ye airport city ewa Menchia North ha. Yepese ye airport city emamo. And I put me enya infaso enti.
The Kumasi International Airport will have an airport city here in the Menchia North constituency to boost businesses. If elected president, I would champion it just as I did for the creation of the Kumasi International Airport and the Tamale Airport.
Airport city wa Accra no. Airport city ewa Kumasi ha.
And that's a wrap of an event today in the Ashanti region as part of the tour of Dr. Mahmood Baumia. And we head out with that very first speech after that massive defeat of the Democrats in the United States. Joe Biden, president of the U.S., has been speaking on this matter. Well, I'll leave you with that speech. I am MFA Powell. There's more news when you log on to myjoeonline.com. Personality profile is up next.
Yesterday, I also spoke with Vice President Harris. She's been a partner and a public servant. She ran an inspiring campaign, and everyone got to see something that I learned early on to respect so much, her character. She has a backbone like a ramrod. Her whole heart and effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran. I know for some people, it's a time for victory, to state the obvious. For others, it's a time of loss. Campaigns are contests of competing visions. The country chooses one or the other. We accept the choice the country made. I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree. Something I hope we can do, no matter who you voted for, is see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Bring down the temperature. On January 20th, we'll have a peaceful transfer of power here in America. To all our incredible staff, supporters, cabinet members, all the people who have been hanging out with me for the last 4 years, God love you, as my mother would say, we're leaving behind the strongest economy in the world. I know people are still hurting, but things are changing rapidly. Together, we've changed America for the better. Now we have 74 days to finish the term, our term. Let's make every day count. That's the responsibility we have to the American people. Look, folks, you all know it in your lives. Setbacks are unavoidable, but giving up is unforgivable. Setbacks are unavoidable, but giving up is unforgivable. We all get knocked down. But the measure of our character, as my dad would say, is how quickly we get back up. Remember, a defeat does not mean we are defeated. We lost this battle. The America of your dreams is calling for you to get back up. That's the story of America for over 240 years and counting. It's a story for all of us, not just some of us. The American experiment endures. We're going to be okay, but we need to stay engaged. We need to keep going, and above all, we need to keep the faith. I'm so proud to have worked with all of you. I really mean it. I sincerely mean it. God bless you all. God bless America.